Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope this microphone works good. The clip is off of the microphone. I tied it around my tie right underneath, so maybe that'll work. That's what you call improvising, I guess. It's good to see each one of you present this morning. Good to have as many with us as we have in our audience today here at the building, and good to have those who are joined in through live stream and worshiping with us today. And we pray that as we study from God's word, that we can become better acquainted with his word and some of the things that he expects of us. You know, to us, a lot of times there are things that do not seem fair to us, and that's what we're going to be talking about in our lesson today. And we'll be turning back and forth, back and forth in our Bible. So keep your Bible handy where you can turn with us as we call the scripture, and I'll try to give you time to turn in your Bible to the place where we'll be studying from. The title of our lesson today is a little bit odd, I suppose. It's entitled, When Life Tumbles In. So when life tumbles in. So let's think about that this morning. You know, let's face it now, as far as we're concerned, it doesn't seem to us that life is always fair. We look at things that are going on, it doesn't seem to be quite right. We see a good person who is trying to live the Christian life, is a good person in the community, he's always there when trouble happens, he's a good father, he's a good husband, he's a Christian, he uses good language, and yet there's always bad things happening to him. And we see how that there's bad things seem like one after another that happens to this person. And we think, well, that person, that good, shouldn't be having all those bad things happening to him. And then right down the road from him, there lives a man who doesn't care. He curses and swears, and he is one that's not right with his family. He may run his children off from home or his wife or whatever, and he doesn't care about doing right. He never tries to act like God even exists. And yet there's always good things that seem to be happening to him, and just everything he does seem to turn out good. It's kind of the person, like I've heard somebody say, you know, he's the type of person, if he fell in the river, he'd come out with a pocket full of fish. And that's about the way that this person is. And we look at that and we say, you know, there's something wrong. The life is just not fair. Here's a bad man who good things happen to, and a good man that bad things happen to, and things are just not, they're just not fair. Well, it's always been that way, and I guess it always will be as long as this world lasts, as far as we're concerned. Now, We look at these things a little bit differently, maybe, than we should sometimes. And I know it's easy for us to look at other folks and say, well, they don't have the trouble that I do. You know, I have problems paying my bills, and I have problems with this, that, and the other, and they don't seem to ever have a problem. My wife used to talk about like that. We'd have times when our finances were not as well as they ought to be, and it was hard to pay the bills and all this kind of thing. She'd say, well, there's somebody, they don't ever have trouble. I said, you don't know. I said, you're just looking at the outward part. And I said, they may look at us and say, you know, that preacher and his family, they don't ever have a problem. They always just pay their bills and no problems. And I said, you don't ever know, and it may be the way we look at it. But that's the way it's always been in this world, and always will be, I guess, as long as this world lasts. But thanks be to God that all accounts are not settled in this world. You know, in this world, there's things that's not taken care of that will be later on when we stand before God. For the faithful people of God, life can sometimes seem pretty rough. And, you know, we think, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Everything ought to work out good for me. I ought not to have any problems. But let me tell you, whenever we become a Christian, that's when the devil takes over, and when he starts trying to tempt us and get us to do things that we ought not to do. And we'll have an example of this later on in our lesson that we'll talk about a little bit more. So things seem pretty rough sometimes. The past year of 2020 has been a frustrating challenge to individual Christians and to congregations as well. We know that there's been challenges that we've faced with the COVID pandemic and things of that nature that we were not expecting. On January 1st, 2020, no one could have possibly envisioned what lay just around the corner. There's no way that we could envision what was going to happen to us in that year. Life really did tumble in on people around the, around the world, not just here where we are, but it was all over the world. And thousands of people died as a result of the COVID pandemic that we had. And there's still people being affected by that pandemic. Life really did tumble in at that particular time. Now, in addition to the COVID pandemic that we faced, then there are also other things that we face, the human side of life. There were the things that all humans have to deal with on a daily basis. And I'll name a few of these, and then we'll get on into our lesson here in just a little bit. First of all, there's health problems. You know, maybe you have a health problem, or one of your family members may have a health problem that you have to deal with, or on a daily basis or whatever. Heart disease, strokes, and I know about strokes because I lost my mother and my wife too by stroke, and by cancer, Alzheimer's, ultimately death. So all these things are daily things that we have to face, the natural things that we normally face in life, in addition to the pandemic that came, the COVID pandemic. But there are other problems also. We didn't name all of them. Let me go back and name a few more. There are financial problems. You know, there comes a time when it's hard for us to pay our bills and buy groceries. Sometimes people have to decide whether they're going to buy groceries or buy medicine. And it's hard to pay the rent and all this kind of the utility bills and things of that nature. And we hear of people in this hot weather that we had a week or so ago suffering because they didn't have air conditioning, or they had air conditioning, but they wasn't able to pay the bill to where they could run it. And so there's the financial problems that we face. There's family problems that we face. Maybe something going on in the family that ought not to be going on that causes problems there. Maybe a husband and father walks out on his family, leaves his wife and kids behind, and goes off on his own. Or a wife and mother may engage in an affair and tear the family all to pieces. Teenage daughter comes up pregnant. A son gets involved in drugs or in some kind of wrong that he can't get out of. Divorce is happening. You know that God hates divorces. Some depart from the faith. All these things are problems that we have to face day by day. You know, and the fact is that sometimes it seems as if everything around us is falling to pieces. Have you ever felt like that everything around you was falling to pieces? You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, this is the worst time it's ever been. Never have been like this before, but I doubt that's true. We look back to the time in which Paul lived and when he was preaching and working in Corinth and look at the position there. But the fact is that sometimes it seems to us as if everything around us is falling to pieces, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And when this happens, then ideal question, or the logical question is, what do we do in a case like this? Whenever the life tumbles in on us, then what do we do about this? Well, I'd like to call your attention to Philippians chapter 4. And this is going to be the basis for our lesson today, is Philippians chapter 4. We'll be noticing some things there. First of all, in Philippians chapter 4, it sets forth the divine principles for these times when life tumbles in, when life is not like we want it to be. You know, everything is not like we want it to go, and things are problems that we have. And so Philippians tells us, it gives us the principles that we need to follow. What can we do? Well, first of all, we can stand fast with the Lord, Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, or chapter 4, and verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So here we need to stand forth in the Lord. That's the one thing we can do. Whenever problems happen, then we don't turn our backs on God, but we turn to Him because He is the only real help that we have. It's not the time for doubting. It's not the time for running. It's not the time for hiding. It's not the time for quitting. We do not quit. We keep on. We work harder to do what God would have us to do. I came across this little poem that I want to try to read to you this morning. It's called Don't Quit. And think about this as we read it. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the roads you're trudging seem all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, When cares are pressing down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometime learn. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of a cloud of doubt. And you may, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems too far. To stick to the fight when you're hardest hit, it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. And I think we need to remember that little poem there. We must not quit. How can we handle these problems? And we always have. We have problems that we have to face, and you know that. And the devil's going to see to it that we always have problems. One thing we can do, we can rejoice in these problems that we have. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So when we have our faith tested, then it produces patience. And to think about the problems that we have, this may be a way that God is testing us to see if we are a true Christian, if we're what we claim to be, if we're the Christian that we claim to be, or if we're just a hypocrite and claim to be a Christian when really we're not. And so we need to realize that these tests that come upon us, these problems may be testing our faith. We may be wanting patience. Maybe we prayed to God for patience, and he's testing us, giving us these tests so we can have patience. I've told you this before, I think. I have a niece that told me, she said, "You know, I prayed to God for patience, and he gave me 7 children." And so sometime, you know, we get the patience that we ask for, but there's a price that we have to pay. And so when these trials come upon us, maybe it's a way that God is testing our patience. Again, Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, Romans 5, 2 and 3, "Through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." And so this tribulation, these problems that we face, it may be a test of our faithfulness to God and our strength in him. You know, Job is one who took a big tumble in life. If you go back to Job chapter 1 and verse 1, you find that God said that Job was upright. He was a faithful man. He was one who loved God, who pursued who loved God and pursued evil. And he was one that God asked Satan, said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth?" And it went on to talk about all the things that Job had. He was a wealthy man on livestock and things of this nature. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And so Satan said, "Yes, Lord, I have." And he said, "You know what the problem is?" He said, "Job serves you for, he doesn't serve you for naught." He said, "He serves you because you've built a hedge around him, and you cause everything he does to prosper, and everything that he's doing is prospering, and he's got a good family and all this kind of thing." He said, "Take that away from him, and he'll curse you to the face." And so God gave Satan the ability to take away these things, and it seemed as though almost in one day's time that Job lost all of the things that he had, all the wealth that he had, material wealth, plus his sons and his daughters. And he said, "You know, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return thither. God gave and God taketh away, or God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Well, we'll get on down to chapter 42 of the book of Job, and we find that even though Job took a big tumble in life, that he came out at the end of the struggle a stronger and better man than he was to start with. So this test proved him to be a stronger man. In the first 6 verses of chapter 42, Job talks about how that he had wanted to talk with God, and where he could sit down with him and ask him a question about why these things had happened like they had happened, and that how that he realized now that he was wrong and he repented of those, asked God to forgive him. And then on down about verse 10, it says that God then blessed Job again and gave him double what he had before as far as material things were concerned. And then there was born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And it went on to give the names of the daughters and said of all the women in the land that there was none as fair as Job's daughters. And so here he was given double, verse 10 says, of the things that he had before. So even though there was a test that was on Job, and we'd have to say that this was a pretty severe test that came upon him, and this test made him a stronger and a better person as a result of it. Now we can be gentle and forbearing during these times like this, and this is how we should deal with others during the time of our trouble. But let me ask you a question. Now, whenever you're troubled, whenever you have problems that arise, are you hard to live with when you have these problems? Are you a different person? Does your attitude change whenever you have these problems? Don't become overbearing, short-tempered, irritable, moody, downcast, and things like this. Don't be hard to live with. When trouble comes, you know, you've got to realize if you've got problems, your family's got the same problem you have. And so why would you be moody with them, and why would you be overbearing, and why would you be hard to live with because you have a problem that you face? And God shows that we are to live with these problems and the way that we're to live with these problems. And one thing, we can pray. You know, prayer is a very present help in time of trouble. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, and this is where we read a verse a while ago from verse 1. Now notice verses 7 and 8 of Philippians chapter 4. It says, "And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, when we have problems, then we need to keep our thinking straight. We don't need to think on bad things. We need to think on good things. We can take our troubles to the Lord in fervent prayer, find release from our fears and anxieties whenever we go to the Lord in prayer. You know, there's nothing like praying to God and realizing that God is there and that He hears our prayers, and He answers our prayers in accord with His will. In James 5 and verse 16, James says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so when we pray to God, then those prayers avail much. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us that we need to keep our thinking straight. We need to think on whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. We think on these things, and we're going to keep our thinking straight, and we're not going to be one that's hard to live with. We're not going to be one that causes problems for others, but we'll appreciate all the help that we have from our family, from God, to help us through these trials that we may be a better person and a stronger person in God. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 tells us that as we think in our heart, so are we. So we need to think straight. We need to think the good things, because as we think in our heart, so are we. In time of trouble, do not dwell on the bad, but focus on the good. You know, that'll help a lot. If we dwell on the bad, it seems to make it worse. But if we kind of put that bad aside and focus on the good, and you think about all the good things that God does for you, and there has to be a long list of the good that we could think on, and don't have to think on the bad things that may be happening to us. Yes, we have problems. Everybody does. We've not promised that there'll not be any problems, but we do have problems. But we need to know how to face those problems, and God tells us here how that we're to face those problems. One thing, we're to accept reality of the situation that we may be in. Again, from Philippians chapter 4, go down to verse 11. And Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. We can do all things. And with God's help, there's nothing that we can't do. Life had not always been easy for Paul. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and down about verse 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll notice what Paul says concerning his life. You know, Paul was one who at one time persecuted God's way, persecuted the church and tried to destroy it. And then later on, then Paul talks about his things that he had to face in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and down at verse 22. He said, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." And so Paul had problems. You know, we look at him sometime and think about all the things that he did and the way that he taught and the journeys that he made in trying to serve God. And we think, well, you know, he must have been an ideal person. He must have never had any problems. But he shows you that, yes, he did. He had problems just like the rest of us. But Paul had learned something in his problems, and we need to learn the same lesson that he did. He had learned to be content. Now, this doesn't say that Paul had always been content. It doesn't say that he was born with that privilege or that honor. But he learned to be content. Whatever state he was in, to be content. If he had plenty or if he had little, that he was content. Now, we can learn this lesson as well. But we've got to want to learn that lesson in order to learn it. I have an idea that Paul wanted to learn that lesson. We can persevere and overcome through Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 13 said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And if we turn back to the book of Romans, in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, and down at verse 35, beginning in the book of Romans, I want us to read another passage together here. Notice what Paul said now talking to the church at Rome. Verse 35, chapter 8. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that a wonderful passage? Regardless of the problems that we have, if we stick with the Lord, I like to think of it like this. You know, talking about us sticking with the Lord, we're stuck to the Lord with his super glue. You ever glued things with super glue and you get it on your fingers and you get your fingers together and you can't pull them apart? Have to maybe cut them apart? Okay? Well, we can be stuck with God's super glue. And if we're stuck with God's super glue, I don't care who it is or what it is, nothing can pull us apart and separate us from God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so we need to stand with God. We need to be stuck with that super glue so that nothing can pull us apart. All of us are glad that 2020 is now history. We can hope that that this year that we're in is going to be better than last year was. And then 22 will be even better than that. However, we have no promise of that. We have no assurance that it will be any better at all. But regardless of how it is, when life tumbles in, we must remember the principles that set forth in Philippians chapter 4 and realize that we can stick with the Lord, that we can be stuck with His super glue, and nothing can pull us apart. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so we have hope that even though whatever problem may come in, that it's going to make us stronger, that it's going to make us a better person, that it's testing our faith, and we'll be more faithful to God as a result of our suffering these things. Appreciate you being here this morning. There may be somebody in our audience who needs to obey the gospel of Christ, and if there is, we're here to help you to do that very thing. That's what it's all about. God wants us to be saved. He sent His Son into the world to make a supreme sacrifice for us that no one else could make, just so that we could be saved, just so that we could overcome these problems that tumble in on us, and we could come out smelling like a rose. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God is there to help us. He'll not allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that we'll be able to bear. Won't you come while we stand together and as we sing the song, Ben Select.